Welcome to The Hitch, week two.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a bug what fly day is in it? My eye. It's
I don't know. I just realized I don't know what day it is.
Day eight. I know.
Oh, right. Because we
I just
are
edited
starting a new week.
Seven episodes last
week
night that ended in day seven. Yeah,
week
this is week
two.
Start of week two, officially.
Yeah.
And I have a bug in my eye.
Oh, no. Dan's been taken out by a tiny insect.
Ow.
Sad.
All right. It's gone. This is the first time we've been at this campsite. We've been here, what, 4 days now? 3 days?
I don't know.
Three or four days. there is not a massive breeze blowing
in. Yeah, even this morning when I was walking around, I was like, it is so windy.
Yeah. And yet again, we are on day two of what is supposed to have been
raining,
solid
day,
days of rain,
thunderstorms.
And there's been no rain.
I know. I'm hoping this trend keeps up.
Yeah, every day that happens feels like a bit of a bonus
day. It does feel like a treat. And it's good because everything is flooded here. I mean, not everything, but the rivers have all...
The Mississippi
is just
when you're driving in, because we're in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Just 15 minutes out from the Mississippi and from Tennessee and Memphis. You are driving there and probably a good mile or two before you reach the river. The GPS has you driving over land and you are totally driving over water.
Yeah.
Because it is entirely flooded.
And this neighbor of ours who, her and her husband have an RV, have this awesome old GMC that we talk about on season one because I'm obsessed with it. Anyway, they were like, we stayed at this campground. It's so awesome.
It's right on the river, right across from Memphis.
Well, it is underwater now.
It is like you go to the campsite's website.
Yeah,
and
we looked
it
up because we're like,
we're closed because of water. Also, we can't answer any phone calls or emails right now. So
I hope the rain holds off.
Yeah. there is massive flooding. I mean, certainly our whole drive, you just drive by field after field that's been flooded. But this is really a whole different level of flooding. But anyway, we're not talking about flooding.
Back. Yeah.
Today we were tourists.
We were.
We aren't normally tourists when
we
do
like
this kind of thing.
We were like half-day tourists.
We were definitely half-day tourists.
You had to get back and work. And
yeah.
It was good to be a half-day tourist because we were kind of tired. It was a tired day, so it was good.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were half-day tourists. We went right downtown Memphis, which is really cute. Nice, cool buildings.
Yeah, it's this nice little small town. It's interesting because just before this trip, we were in Nashville for the PodX podcasting conference. And Nashville and Memphis are both very similar in size of population. They are both cities that have deep, deep musical roots and history and, you know, capitalize on that. And boy, Nashville just seems like a remarkably larger town than Memphis. Like the downtown of Memphis is still really small. It feels, you know, very different in a lot of ways, but it's, you know, still a town of 600 whatever thousand people. But anyway, we went to downtown Memphis.
We did. And why did we go there?
Go to the Peabody Hotel, which is a very beautiful...
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
like
very
super nice hotel.
Ornate hotel.
I don't remember when it was built.
I think he said it was in the 1890s or 1880s or
something like that.
Very old, very historic hotel that is most known now for the fact that twice a day there are ducks that in the morning they come down an elevator from the roof.
So they live on the roof. They have a little duck house, which I guess you can go up on the roof and see.
He called it the duck castle or palace.
I have no doubt that it's a little fancy up there because the whole place is super fancy. But so apparently you can go up to the roof and see where the ducks live. We didn't do that because it was super crowded. But anyway, they are escorted.
Yes, by the duck master.
By the duck master who has a fancy cane with a duck head on it. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
And a very fancy outfit.
Yeah.
And
He goes up to the roof. Marches the ducks into an elevator.
Takes them down.
Takes it down 12 stories. And then they have rolled out a red carpet to the elevator.
Yep.
And they, He
leads them.
Leads them, though really he sort of steps aside and
they run
at full speed down the carpet boop, 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 up a couple of red carpeted steps and jump into the fountain in the lobby.
They jump into the fountain that's like in the middle of the lobby, kind where of in the spa area.
Where they then swim around for 5 hours.
Yeah, they hang out 6 hours.
Yeah, and then at 5 p.m., he leads them back up the red carpet into the elevator and back up to their house.
And they go home.
It is a whole thing.
It is a whole thing.
It has been happening for,
I just looked at it. It was like 1933 or something. Yeah. And basically, he gave a great talk about the history of it. And it basically started from two guys who were wasted and thought it would be funny. They were staying at the hotel to like...
They went duck hunting.
Yeah, bring
and
some ducks
brought
in.
It, back then, the sign I read referred to them as live decoys, which just means ducks.
Right. Right.
But they brought their ducks back. Not the ones they killed, but the ones they used to lure the
and
ones they killed.
And just let them loose.
And just let them loose
like after
in the
being
lobby.
Wasted.
Yeah.
And then there, what was the deal? It was like one of the
story he told was
employees.
That a bellman,
yeah, a bellman
came up and said, look, I used to work for the circus.
Right.
And I could train some ducks to come out every day and swim in the fountain.
And then go back.
And, you know, the manager said, okay.
Yeah,
and
I guess it got enough attention.
Yeah.
And people were coming in to see the ducks that were loose in the lobby or whatever. And I don't know how long that happened before they decided to start training them.
Yeah.
But the guy stayed for 50 years. 50 years.
Has since died, and now there are multiple duck masters.
Yes.
Because this guy was, what, the assistant duck master or something?
He was the assistant, yes.
But they have this red carpet. They let kids sit right alongside the red carpet.
Yeah.
Like, there's kind of stanchions up for parents to stand behind. And it was wild.
It was wild. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so weird. In the best way.
Yeah.
You know, you're in this like super fancy hotel, just really nice, ornately decorated, just gorgeous. I kept looking at the ceiling because it was just like incredible. And just like tile and painting and just mosaic and just gorgeous everywhere you look. And then these ducks, and the funniest thing is like, we're all lined up for like half an hour, 45 minutes or whatever beforehand. There's a big crowd. There's quite a few people there.
Big crowd
and it was,
elaborate
and it's a
story.
So I thought, maybe there won't be that many people.
No,
anyway,
there were a lot
of people. There's probably more on the weekend. And we're all excited to see the ducks. And we can barely see. Our kids had a good view because they were in the kids' spot. But, like, and then the ducks ran in so fast.
they just tore down.
So I, like, basically ducks, just saw, like, a brown blur run by.
Those ducks did not care.
Yeah,
Those ducks were not on show. They were like, we just need to get to water
I mean,
and past all you people.
The fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was
great.
It was hilarious. It was so weird.
I know. Our 3-year-old just had this look on his face. Like, he enjoyed it, but he was like completely confused. Everybody afterwards goes to the fountain and like looks at the ducks and takes like 1,000 pictures of them. And I'm like taking a picture of him. I took a picture of him in front of the ducks and he just has this confused look on his face. Like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
But it was fun.
But that was weird and fun.
It was weird and fun and got us to see a part of Memphis we hadn't really spent time in, and it was gorgeous.
And then we followed that up with weird but no fun.
Yeah, that's the second part.
Which was just off from downtown Memphis. In the river, technically on an island, I believe, is an enormous pyramid that the city of Memphis built a couple of decades ago in the hopes to build sort of a destination piece of architecture.
Wasn't it a visitor center
and an arena.
Right.
I believe
arena,
the Memphis basketball team signed a contract to play basketball in that arena, and it was huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
And it was a boondoggle.
Yeah, it did not work.
Apparently, on the opening night of the pyramid,
the pyramid flooded.
Yeah.
Our 14-year-old did all this research and was reading about it on the way down, and he was really excited to see it.
Well, we need to explain the history of this to see, because we had driven by through Memphis a couple years ago and we saw the pyramid.
Right.
And so he was intrigued by it and he did a bunch of research. So the city gave up on the pyramid, mm-hmm. and it basically abandoned it. So instead of this big destination piece of architecture, it was a big destination piece of crap sitting on the side of the river that nobody used. And eventually they sold it for not much money to the Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, which is so strange.
Who turned the pyramid into a giant outdoors themed Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah.
Which
they have a they have a giant sign when you walk in that says "Welcome to Paradise."
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, this is not my paradise.
Yeah, and you read the descriptions of it, and it's like there's umpteen hundred thousand thousand gallon ponds,
right?
And there's,
and they have like 1,800 different kinds of fish,
and
a
100-foot tall cypress tree, or cypress tree, you know, fake
they have alligators.
Alligators. There's a swamp and blah blah blah.
And we're like, this will be awesome.
And we were like, okay, this is going to be weird but awesome.
Fun. Yeah, fun for
and
the kids.
And like,
especially.
This is going to be, you know, like a weird sportsman theme park.
Right. And we love theme parks, and we've gone.
Yeah.
We, you know, we've gone to several, and we went to the Mall of America last year, and
we loved
it. We had a blast.
Yeah. We are,
and so we're open. Like we went in expecting to have fun,
schlocky but fun.
We were like, that'll be fun, especially like all the descriptions of the animals. I thought,
yeah,
that'll be awesome.
Like, oh, it's gonna be like a weird indoors, outdoorsy Disney thing.
Right, that was in our minds.
And it was like Disney if Disney sucked.
Like, which it doesn't.
You know, like. The thing that I finally figured out is I expected it to be about 70% theme park and 30% store.
Yeah, me too.
And it was 30% theme park and 70% store.
Well, I mean, they had a lot of,
there was a
like,
lot of
fake
theming,
trees
yes.
and things like that.
But
what your eye goes to, like the main focus, is like the fishing jackets that they have for sale. And it looks just like a regular,
it looks like a store. Like an outdoor store.
Except for then there'll be like this giant
fake
tree. And then there'll be like a little pond with fish in it.
Or like ducks. But like everything is really dark.
Everything's really dark,
which
is weird.
It's all kind of seems a little damp and weird. And
the lighting is strange.
It was a bummer.
Yeah,
like,
it was not what we thought it would be, and that's okay. I mean, that's absolutely
it was not what we thought we'd
what
be.
Happens.
And all of our expectations
were low.
Low.
Yeah, we all thought it was going to be like just a funny place to see briefly, and it was
turned
just
out not to be.
Kind of, you know, it was fine,
it was
but
fine.
It was like we were like, eh. Like we were never like,
it
whoa,
was,
cool.
Yeah, it was just like, this is weird and kind of gross.
Yeah,
and
it felt not great.
No, and you know, if that's your thing, that's cool.
And I mean, people maybe love it, and that's great.
Yes,
you know, I
but
don't know.
But it just was such a weird, it's such an incredibly ostentatious piece of architecture.
Yeah. To then
that then
be like
inside, they're trying very hard to make it not look like you're in a pyramid.
Right, like they should have,
you know,
hammed it up a lot
more.
Yeah,
like all the lighting is really dark, so you really
it's
can't
really
see
weirdly
the sides.
Dark.
And
yeah.
It was a bummer enough that it kind of threw us.
We were like trying to make it fun.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't.
It wasn't. And you know what? That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously fun is a very subjective thing and some people might love it, but I didn't, you know, I was like, this is just not working. And we didn't stay long and that was great. And then, so we needed to bounce back from that.
So we turned around, we went back to Jerry's.
We went back
cones.
To Jerry's.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop, because it rules.
It does rule.
Oh, it's so good. And
we just had snow cones this time. We did not have insane burgers.
That's true. We only did the snow cones. But we did do the Supreme, which is when you add ice cream. And man, that is a good move.
It is a good move.
I mean, sometimes you just got to switch gears and change up.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't working. And we had other things we were going to do. Go to this cool, like, old
store.
Kind of mercantile.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Mercantile? Yeah, I think that's right. That sounds right.
An old mercantile tile. I don't know. All of a sudden, I don't know how to say words. But
whatever.
An old store. that it looks really cool. And we've been there before, but it was closed. And, you know, I mean, sometimes things just don't go exactly according to plan. And that's fine because you can just throw everything up in the air and just go get snow cones. And then your day is always awesome.
It's
true. Forget it. There's always ice cream and snow cones out there in the world. It is true. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to be like, all right, this one's not working. Let's
screw
do something
the Bass
else.
Pro Shop.
Because we know snow cones will work.
Let's go get snow cones.
Especially from Jerry's. Yeah.
And they did.
They did work.
You know, they turned it all around. We ended up coming back to the campsite. I had a bunch of work I had to do this afternoon. So
we
y'all
just like,
kicked it around the campsite.
We kicked it around the campsite.
They have a giant chessboard.
Oh,
and you
goodness.
And the 14-year-old got
epic.
Locked in battle.
I'm
over
always
chess.
Like, maybe we won't be so intense. And, well, the first game, he just creamed me. Like, he just destroyed me. And I realized, I'm off my game. I haven't played chess since last summer. And we actually forgot our chess set, which I'm sad about. But they do have a giant chess set, which is really fun. And the second game, I was a little bit more prepared. And so it was an epic battle. And,
y'all played for so long that I finished my work. I came
so
out.
Long.
I played
I texted
for about,
you,
yeah.
like, can you come get the
I
little
I played
guy
for about 30 minutes with the 3-year-old out on the playground. Then I had to go back and take another meeting.
I know, you were texting me like, this is so boring.
Like,
hurry up.
To go.
We couldn't stop. And then finally we did have to stop.
And you lost again?
No, I won.
Oh, good.
I won, actually. But it was, it was really close and went on forever, and then finally we had to just call a draw because he was down to just his king and I was just chasing him around forever, you know, when that happens. I was like, okay, we need to be done.
Gotta be done.
So anyway, it was great.
We turned it all around thanks
snow
to
cones
some snow
giant,
cones and
chess sets. Yeah. That's
and memories of ducks running down the hallway.
Of ducks. Yes.
But yeah, that's it.
That's it.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Season 2 of The Hitch was recorded in the back of Evangeline, our 27-foot Airstream trailer by Dan Sinker and Janice Dillard, while living on the road for 64 days in the summer of 2019. You can see pictures from the road on Instagram at TinCanEvangeline, and you can email us at evangeline@thehitchpodcast.com. If you like The Hitch, please tell your friends about it, and also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll
see
you
on the road!